Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. This is episode 247 of The Big Show. And as ever, I really appreciate you tuning in. It means so much to me to have you here. Now, today, we've got a lot to cover. Wait till you see the show notes for this one. There's like, I don't know, 30 links in it or something along those lines. Because there's a topic I've been thinking about a lot. You know, I talked about this weeks ago in the episode, Why Google is the Beast That Scares Your Industry's 800-Pound Gorilla. And a piece I wrote both for Hotel News Now, as well as the blog, all about how Google really represents the hotel marketing and distribution trend you care about most this year. But I want to make this less about Google and more about the rise of gatekeepers generally, how digital is beginning to enable gatekeepers in ways we've not seen in the past. Now, obviously, Google is one of the biggest gatekeepers there is, but so is Facebook. So is Instagram. Obviously, Instagram being part of Facebook. So is YouTube. Wait, that's part of Google. So is Amazon, which isn't part of any of those, but certainly competes head-to-head with them. And I think we can say the same about Apple, as well as Android, which, oh yeah, that's Google again. Now, you've heard me talk about Apple, Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, others in the past, and how much control that they have, and how much they, I don't want to say get in the way between you and the your customer, but certainly they represent a gatekeeper between you and your customer. And I'm going to focus mostly on Google in this discussion, but everything I'm going to say here applies equally to Facebook. It applies equally to Amazon. It applies equally to Apple. And it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about search or social or mobile or apps. When there is a single gatekeeper or just a few gatekeepers, suddenly the world changes. I mean, you could talk about Netflix, and it is the same way if you make video. Steam or Epic, when we talk about video games. Archive and Elsevier, when we're talking about, you know, academic papers. These are all the new gatekeepers. And a lot of the changes we're seeing are related to the fact that these gatekeepers have a lot of power, have a lot of control. You know, everybody's familiar with Stuart Brand's famous saying that all information wants to be free. But it seems increasingly like we have to turn that saying on its head and say, does all information want a paywall? You know, if you think about it, even Google's ads are a paywall of a kind. So I'm going to kind of break this down for you, and I think why this is so important. And I want to start with a fantastic article written by Andy Crestodina at Orbit Media Studios. It's a tremendous, tremendous article for those of you who care about Google and search and things along those lines. But he has done a brilliant job archiving and cataloging how Google's changes to the search results are changing how customers find you. So he gives three examples of how the number one ranking has changed, not in terms of ranking on Google's search results, but instead in terms of placement. Where the average placement of the three examples he provides, the number one ranking has dropped roughly about 570 pixels lower on the consumer's screen than where it was 3 or 4 years ago. So three separate examples. It doesn't matter where it was placed. These were all number one, but number one moved from being somewhere around 350 pixels on the screen, 350 pixels from the top, to being roughly about 920 pixels from the top on the screen. As he says brilliantly, rankings are durable. Placement is not. Now, what's causing the drop? Well, the fact that Google has added maps and ads, other Google features like related questions, featured snippets, videos, and so on, where what you're seeing is we just keep getting pushed lower at, in organic terms, in favor of either other organic types of media, maps, featured snippets, etc., or paid media like ads, or as we're starting to see, there's a tremendous article about this on Search Engine Land, things like ads for my business listings or ads on maps. And I'm going to link to these in the show notes, various examples of these. Now, this shouldn't come as any surprise to you. Again, this is something I've been talking about going back a long, long ways. I'll put some links in the show notes dating back to, I think, 2011, a Biznology article that talks about whose brand does Google want to build, which, of course, the brand they really want to build is Google. And this one just struck me as funny, given the topic of today's show, titled, Should Marketers Really Trust Google in 2014? And if I could read one quick excerpt from that post, you know, I'd written at the time that these changes effectively reduce your opportunities to get in front of customers via organic search, RSS feeds, and email. These were changes to Google Reader, Gmail, etc. But I also said at the time, now none of this is evil. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google all have a right to do whatever they believe is best for their business. And as public companies, one could argue, have a responsibility to their shareholders to increase revenues and profits however they're able. So this isn't new. This shouldn't come as a surprise. This is something that's been ongoing for years. You know, again, the oldest post I'm linking to today goes back to April of 2011. So this really shouldn't come as a shock to you. But what's increasingly important is the fact that Google has made more and more changes that make it more and more difficult for you to show up in front of your customers when you want, quote unquote, for free. And you're going to see your costs rise. Unless, of course, you're smart about how you react to this and do some really simple but really intelligent things to continue to do well even as these changes occur. You know, so a few things I want to talk about that you can do to adapt to this reality. You know, the first is pay attention to how your customers react to the changing marketplace. Pay really close attention to where your traffic comes from on your site. Are you seeing a drop from organic? Are you seeing a drop from organic channels? And I mean organic search, organic social, things along those lines to understand, is it affecting you yet? In all likelihood, it is. If in fact it is, you need to be really clear on where are the biggest drops and what do you need to do to address that. You also need to think in terms of growing your email list. That's incredibly, incredibly important. If you've noted the growth of email newsletters over the last couple of years, most of that, in fact, is driven by reporters, journalists, writers, thinkers, publishers, etc., saying we don't want to be dependent upon these giants like Google or Facebook or any of those other players for the bulk of our traffic. We need to connect with them directly. The other thing you need to do is pay close attention to improving your conversion rates. The reality is it's always going to cost you something to get customers to come to your sites. No matter where they come from, if you're doing it through organic search, if you're doing it through organic social, if you're doing it through any of the other things that I'm going to talk about in a moment, there's at minimum a labor cost associated with it. And so you damn well better make sure that when customers come to your site, they convert. It doesn't matter whether they come to your website. It doesn't matter whether they call you. It doesn't matter whether they walk into a store or, you know, work through one of your third-party channels. The reality is that every lost opportunity increases your cost. So you want to take a close look at where those customers come from and how effective you are at turning those direct contacts into action, into revenues, and into profits. You really want to work on improving those results so you continue to get the best return on your spend. You also want to look at ways to unleash what I've always referred to as your secret sales force. And what I mean by your secret sales force are your best customers. How do you turn your customers into advocates for your business? It's one of the reasons why customer experience is queen is a constant mantra of mine. It's all about helping customers have a great story to tell, how you can get them to participate in the creation of a positive brand story for you and share with their friends and family and fans and followers, whether it's via email or social or texting or just talking to them on the street, about how much they like working with you to build your business. You can also look at building a dedicated referral program or an advocacy program for your business to engage that secret sales force even more effectively. And when we're talking about our secret sales force, another portion you want to consider are your employees. Look at how you can engage your employees in addition to your customers in telling that positive brand story. You know, there are tools like LinkedIn Elevate for building those employee engagement programs and are well worth taking a look at. And of course, the other thing you need to do is look at applying agile or lean practices to your business. We're in a rapidly changing environment. That's not something that's going to change anytime soon. I've talked about how speed is the biggest change we've seen in marketing, and it doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. So the best response isn't necessarily to just anticipate every possible change, but instead to learn how to quickly respond, even if you're anticipating, because maybe you don't always get it right. And so when we talk about things like Agile or Lean or Scrum or other IT development methodologies that have become fairly popular over the last bunch of years, those also work for digital marketers and digital strategists and can help you adapt easily, more efficiently, and more effectively. That's incredibly important. And of course, the last thing you need to do is keep learning. Obviously, this isn't going to stop anytime soon. Google and Facebook and Amazon and Apple are going to do whatever they need to do what's right for their customers and, more importantly, for their business. You need to do the same. And so that's why you want to focus on continue learning, improve your conversion rates, engage your secret sales force, enlist your employees, test and learn, and just keep learning. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all our episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 247. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single episode. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts may be found. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. I'd also very much appreciate it if you could provide us a positive rating or review while you're there. It's so helpful, and I would very much appreciate it. I'd also like to thank our sponsor for continuing to sponsor Thinks Out Loud. Thinks Out Loud is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics to unlock revenue for your business. You can learn more about how to improve your content, increase your customer satisfaction, and make your search smarter by going to solosegment.com. Again, that's solosegment at solosegment.com. Finally, I want to remind you that you can find Thinks Out Loud on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle at TCPeter. Or, of course, you can email me. Just send your emails to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much for listening. I always appreciate it. I hope you have a great week ahead. A fantastic weekend, and I will look forward to speaking with you here on Thinks Out Loud again next time. Until then, please be well, be safe, and as ever, take care, everybody.